Hamilton County's dog warden is calling for changes to the law after two dogs mauled a woman in Coleraine Township last month and severely injured her arms. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Today we're going to talk about this case, what the law does and does not allow, and potential changes to the law. Joining me now are Hamilton County Chief Dog Warden Beth Ward and Cincinnati Animal Care Shelter Director Megan Colville. Thank you both so much for being here today.
Sure.
Good morning.
So, Beth, can you walk us through what happened with these two dogs in Coleraine Township? How did this lady get injured?
So, what we've been able to derive from the situation is that this resulted from two dogs getting loose from their yard and wandering through the neighborhood, and a neighbor, meaning to be a Good Samaritan, trying to gather them together and get them back to their yard. And during the course of that, she was bitten and attacked by the two dogs, resulting in some pretty severe injuries to her. And then after that, Coleraine PD responded, and they were able to get one dog contained, and our officer shortly arrived thereafter. The victim was already taken off to the hospital. And we were able to try to coerce the dog to get back into its yard. And as we were doing that, the owners actually returned home and were able to get the dog back into the yard.
Hmm. And as I understand, this lady's children were in the car and saw this happen. They're the ones who called 911. I guess that's why Coleraine police responded.
That's what's been reported to me.
Okay. So you mentioned police were the first on the scene. They were able to get one of the dogs kind of back into the yard. And your folks from your office, the dog warden's office, got there shortly after the police arrived. Is that kind of how the events happened?
That's correct. In many circumstances, especially when there's a emergency that's happening, your local police department is always going to be first on the scene to a field service response. My officers, when we're fully budgeted, we have 10 officers that serve the entire county. And as an example, Coleraine, I believe they have almost 40 officers just serving Coleraine Township.
Oh, yeah, 40 police officers versus your 10 folks in the dog warden's office.
Correct.
Covering the whole county. Yeah.
Yeah, and so you can imagine that sets off the response times. But our officer was actually on the scene very quickly and able to, and Coleraine Township PD and my officers worked together to be able to secure the second dog.
And what was the decision-making process in terms of deciding whether or not to take custody of those dogs after what had happened?
So in the state of Ohio, what we're required to do is we're required to try to ensure the safety of the community, the safety of the people, the safety of the animals. And so when my officer arrived on the scene and we were able to get the animals contained and the owners arrived on scene, now that the owners were there, the owners became responsible for helping to make sure those dogs were secure. And so my officer then sat down and started to be able to walk through what are the quarantine requirements for those dogs. And the owners were able to demonstrate that actually, outside of a lot of people that we talked to, they were able to appropriately contain them safely at their home and to be able to follow the guidelines set forth as far as limiting individual contact, keeping them contained while in the house so they don't have access to the outside. If they're taken out to go to the restroom, they're taken out on leash by an adult that is able to handle those dogs one at a time, out to go potty, back in, and then they were crated during that time. Mm. And that's the family's right to be able to do that. If the family was not able to demonstrate to us that they were able to safely quarantine those animals, then, and in many circumstances we find that where people don't have fences, they don't have an adult that can handle the animals appropriately, we will then impound them and care for them under quarantine at Cincinnati Animal Care.
And what is that quarantine process? What are the rules about how long a dog has to be quarantined after a situation like this?
The quarantine is established to help for public safety against rabies. So it's a 10-day process in which that the animal is seen to be healthy at the beginning of the quarantine. And then like Board of Health might be, they come out to the house to check, make sure the dogs are staying healthy. And at the end of the quarantine, when they're released, we have to know that they're healthy. If the animal becomes ill and or dies during that time period, then we know that they could have been at rabies risk. But the truth is, in the state of Ohio, rabies is very low risk with dogs. And so, but this is something that we have to do to maintain public safety.
And you mentioned that these owners of these particular dogs displayed that they were able to keep control of their dogs, keep them fenced in. If the dogs got loose in the first place, what do they have to show to prove, hey, we can make sure they don't get loose again, if you know what I mean, if they were able to get out in the first place?
Correct. So my officer, in talking to the dog owners, as well as obtaining certain information from neighbors at the time, we were able to determine that those dogs generally don't get out on their own. They do have a fenced-in backyard. The owners generally only have them outside when they're outside with them. The owners right away, right on scene, admitted that they made a mistake. They were in a rush to go pick up their children after school, and the dogs were outside, and they just left and left the dogs, and then they came right back, which was in the same time period that all this occurred. And so we felt that they were honest and truthful, and so we had no reason to doubt them at that time.
Okay. We're talking about a dog attack that happened last month in Coleraine Township and Hamilton County's response. Do you have questions or comments, call 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. Beth, you talked a little bit about this quarantine that's required under the law for public health reasons and safety reasons. In your opinion, does the law limit what you can do as the dog warden and what your officers can do in a situation like this?
The law doesn't necessarily limit it. It provides us guidelines, and we have the ability to make a determination if that is a safe thing to do, to be able to quarantine them at home, or if they need to be quarantined at the shelter. And like I mentioned, as we do have situations where we have a bite that occurs in a home or from a dog out in the neighborhood, and we find that the person living in the home isn't able to properly handle that dog during the quarantine period. Maybe they have a physical challenge, or maybe they don't have a appropriate fenced-in backyard. Just even though the dog's supposed to be walked on leash, just to be on the safe side, there should be a fenced-in yard so that if in case the dog got loose, it'd be secured. And so if we make a determination based on all of these things, whether we should leave them at home to be quarantined and or bring them to a shelter.
Mm-hmm. And what was the kind of, was there community reaction to the fact that these dogs were able to quarantine at home with their owners? What kind of feedback did you hear about that? And Megan, I'm not sure if you heard feedback about that as the shelter director, if either of you did.
Well, I think that there was a lot of feedback. I mean, that's the thing, if you know, and we're talking about this one particular situation, but what we have to remember is that dog bites, they have a lot of victims that are involved in this, because the victim, of course, whoever is bitten or attacked by a dog is our first issue and concern. But you also have the people in the neighborhood who become fearful, either because they've heard things, or maybe they don't have all of the information, or they're just inherently afraid of dogs, and so this just adds to their fear. And then you have the dog owners who get impacted, because, you know, we have a lot of dog owners in Hamilton County that are very responsible dog owners, and incidents like this happen because it's an accident. Then we have the range where we have dog owners, and they don't really care. They open their doors and they let their dogs run, and they don't care what their dog does in the neighborhood. And if it was to bite somebody, they don't care. And if it bites somebody, they'll get rid of it. You know, but there are the other extreme, which I believe in this case, a family that really cared about their animals. Mistake happened. Somebody got severely hurt, and it created fear in a neighborhood.
Hmm. What did you hear feedback as the shelter director, Megan? What did you hear from the public about this?
The same thing that Beth was just referring to. Just I think there was a lot of fear, probably because of the severity of the bite. And as you had mentioned earlier, they got out once. So I think a lot of people were a little bit nervous about that. And we definitely respect that there was concern in the community, and that's what our officers were there to do, was to try to make sure that we could minimize that as much as possible.
Yeah. And do I understand correctly that eventually the dogs were brought to the shelter? How did that happen?
And that's correct. And so from the basically the night of the attack and almost each day afterwards, we made the offer to the owners to be able to bring the dogs into the shelter for their quarantine period. It wasn't being mandated because they were able to appropriately care for the animals. And they had had these dogs since they were young puppies. Mm. And what they were looking at is they had already made up their mind that they were going to have the dogs euthanized. And I don't want to speak for them, but I'll speak what I felt in talking to them, is that they wanted the opportunity to spend the last 10 days with their dog as part of their family before that final decision was carried out. But we made the offer to them, and we reminded them of that. A couple of days into it, I think it was actually on the fourth day, the owners and I spoke, and they made a decision to have us go ahead and bring the dogs down to the shelter because of all the angst that they were feeling from their community. And it was, they weren't able to, you know, go back to their normal routines and feel comfortable because of how people in the community were feeling. So again, they were very responsible and they understood the impact. And so they ultimately made a decision that they felt would support the community.
We're going to continue our conversation after a short break. And later in the program, we'll discuss a guidebook to Greater Cincinnati neighborhoods. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WBXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about what the law says about vicious dog attacks in the wake of an attack last month that left a Coleraine Township woman severely injured. My guests are Hamilton County Chief Dog Warden Beth Ward and Cincinnati Animal Care Shelter Director Megan Colville. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Megan, before the break, Beth was talking about the decision that was made to bring the dogs into the shelter because of the kind of all the attention this family was getting. Can you talk about your procedures at the shelter when you take custody of one or more dogs that have been involved in something like this?
Yeah, bringing dogs in to the shelter for a safe bite quarantine period is something that we regularly do. Once the dogs arrive at the shelter, we are getting our team to really understand what exactly happened. With the bite, we've had dogs that have been brought in with a minor bite. We've had dogs brought in with much more significant bites. So the first priority for me is making sure that our staff and our volunteers are going to be safe handling these dogs. They are living in a kennel for the next 10 days, and so we still have to try to make sure that they're getting any kind of enrichment that they need, and possibly even getting them out of their kennel a little bit too. So we just want to make sure we're doing it as safely as possible. I think what's really important is what really happens at the end of that bite quarantine. We take the dogs as a public service, as a courtesy, to make sure that, as Beth had mentioned earlier, that if someone is not able to safely quarantine or they don't feel like they can safely quarantine, we will be able to provide that service. But at the end of the quarantine, the dogs still belong to those owners. We're just doing a boarding service, so we will take them in for that period. But at the end of that quarantine, we will work closely, Beth's team works closely with those owners to figure out next steps.
I want to ask you both this. In a situation like this, you know, you had mentioned, Beth, that emotions were very high on this. I mean, these are dogs that had been with this family since they were puppies. The neighbors were, you know, understandably frightened by the severity of this attack. I want to ask you both this, but I'll start with you, Beth. How do you help the community work through
those emotions? Or is that part of what you do? I mean, that's got to be difficult to navigate just the very strong feelings that are coming from all directions in a situation like this.
Yeah. No, that's a huge challenge because you don't want to ever minimize anybody's feelings. I mean, the fear is true. I mean, and the victim experienced a horrific attack. And to be honest with you, there's people that have a minor bite and it's a horrific attack because it's such a scary situation. You don't want to minimize that. You want to hear them. You want to try to address it. The best thing that we can do is get out to be able to educate the community. You know, ideally we do that ahead of time, but it's also good to do behind, you know, afterwards. And so, like, we've gone out, our team went out and did an education for that community. That's just right. Last week, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Megan, do you want to add to that? How do you help communities? You know, obviously there's the victim who's been injured. I mean, there's the victim's children who watched all this. There's the whole community. How do you help folks work through that?
I think the best approach that we try to take is to really, as Beth had mentioned, really listen to everybody, hear what's going on, but gather all that information. I think it'd be irresponsible of us as an organization, whether it's as the Hamilton County Dog Warden, as Cincinnati Animal Care, to jump to conclusions, to just become really reactive, which could happen if we let our emotions get the best of us. We've got to be that calm in the storm, gather all the information, work with the law, work with the community leaders, the community members, people on that block. I know we had our dog warden deputies were out on that block every day for the entire time that probably about 5 days after that attack happened. So we're out there trying to understand what happened, trying to really, you know, hear from that community and provide some reassurance. We were pretty quick to get out there to provide an educational, in an educational setting a couple weeks later. We were invited by the Neighborhood Council of Coleraine, which was really, really great.
Yeah. We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Kathy. Thanks so much for your call. What is your question or comment?
Hi. Just quickly, I'll tell you that I'm a dog groomer of 26 years, and the training that I give my groomers is that all dogs bite. You just have to know their body language. But I'm curious as to why there isn't some sort of required program for people to participate in with their dogs who have proven to be aggressive.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. I don't know, so, Megan or Beth, you want to weigh in on that?
I'll answer that because there are different programs that are available out there, Kathy, that other agencies have done in the past where if you have a dog that has met the designation of a dangerous animal or has shown that they have the propensity to be dangerous, there are programs that are mandated by various ordinances that say that you have to go to like a canine good citizen class. You have to, the owners have to go to a class. In our particular area, there is not something like that, but it is something that we're working towards. And we're also looking and supporting our state to be able to look at our state laws and what we can do to add more strength to our state laws to be able to support programs like what you're talking about.
Talk a little bit more about those state laws. And Kathy, thank you for that question. We appreciate your listening. We appreciate your calling. What more would you like to see in terms of state laws? And is there training that could be added? What would you like to see, Beth?
Well, I think that, you know, one of the things that is difficult when you're talking about state laws is that every place in the state is a little bit different, right? And so some areas have more capability to provide programs like that, and not all state laws are funded or mandated or funded. If the state laws were funded, then we could put together more programs like this. And I know Cincinnati Animal Care would be one of the first ones to step up to do things like that because we're all about community support.
Yeah. We got a call from Stephen. He is saying that he feels like these dog owners should have faced consequences, even though you describe them as very responsible, because this lady who was attacked could have died. He said his mother works at Cincinnati Children's, has seen children bitten by different dogs. It can be horrific. What do you have to weigh in a situation like this, Beth, in terms of whether the dog owners face some kind of legal consequences?
So actually, Stephen's got some really good points, and I think that's the direction that we're really trying to take state laws, is holding dog owners more accountable for what their dogs do. When we were off radio earlier, we were talking about the similarity to car accidents. You know, if you're driving a car and you're impaired or you don't handle your car appropriately and you cause an accident, you're held criminally liable, right? But it's not the same for a dog situation. And we really feel that dog owners should be able to be held accountable in the same sort of way. But as it stands right now, the owners aren't necessarily held accountable for it unless it's been able to be demonstrated that they used them as a weapon.
Wow. And I know we've talked on this program about people facing consequences, but it's usually after repeated incidents with dogs that they face some kind of consequence, and it can be a misdemeanor. Do you think that, what would you like to see that, how would you like to see that strengthened specifically?
Well, again, I think it's just more clarity in the law that has different levels based on circumstances that happen. Because again, you do have situations where you have people that are responsible and one bad thing happens. But guess what? If it's bad enough to cause severe injury or death, should that be lesser than something that was somebody that really didn't care and caused a more minor accident? I mean, it's a difficult thing to be able to work it through. And that's why we're working with our state assemblyman and trying to put together some changes to the law that will make sense, not just for Hamilton County, but for the entire state.
Mm-hmm. We have another caller on the line. Hi, Terry. Thanks for your call. What's your question?
My question is, my understanding is that if there is a dog loose in your neighborhood and it's something that you've encountered before and you are frightened and you call, the dog warden will not come out and take those dogs away unless you have sequestered them.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold there so you can answer that. Beth, what's the policy there?
Yeah, so what you're talking about is called a nuisance dog. It's 955.11 of the, it's section A3C or A3A of the Ohio Revised Code. And that's where a dog is without provocation out running around in the neighborhood, and it's off the premises of the owner, and it's chasing or approaching people in a menacing fashion or apparent attitude of attack, or if it's attempted to bite. Now, if we have those circumstances that have been documented, then we're able to come out and, as best we can, be able to catch the dog. We always recommend that if there is a dog running at large in a neighborhood, the best thing is twofold. Is one, if someone can secure that dog, and we can send an officer out to be able to pick up the dog. Or if you can stand by, keep the dog in your sight, and say that you are going to be there, then we can send an officer out. Oftentimes when we get a call and there's a dog loose in a similar manner to what you're talking about, we go out, the dog's gone. It's gone back to its home. It's gone three streets over. It's very difficult for us to find. So it's not a matter of we don't want to or can't respond. It's just that we also have a very small team of officers covering the entire county. So we have to respond to emergencies and priority calls first and foremost.
Thanks for that call, Terry. We appreciate it. We've talked about changes in state law. In just the few seconds we have, Beth, is there anything, different county policy you'd like to see changed?
Well, first of all, I want to say that our county commissioners and our state representatives are all very supportive of changes. And I know we're all talking about making things happen. And so hopefully you'll see something coming forward in the next few months.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with Hamilton County Chief Dog Warden Beth Ward and Cincinnati Animal Care Shelter Director Megan Colville. Thank you both so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Up next, we'll discuss a guidebook to Greater Cincinnati neighborhoods. This is Cincinnati Edition.